K4X Ray Bravo, K4X Beanie 1 around to let me know how this radio is doing.
4XB, K4X Beanie 1,
did you come back? But I don't think I had my radio turned. Whoops, now I've been made a mess. I don't know that I had my radio turned up high enough.
I'll try it again, K4XB, KS4CHY, you sounding good here.
I said it, and even though the radio took a little tumble, I think it's okay as well. So I do appreciate you coming back to me.
Sounds good post-tumble also. It seems like the repeater's had a little issues today. There's been a lot of static and people fading out, but right now it's good and strong.
I appreciate you coming back to me, and I'm going to button this thing up make sure it's good to go for the net tonight. But I do appreciate you coming back to me.
Same here, Keith, over in Seneca. K4CHY, I'll be standing by and listening.
Here's Tommy, Tango Oscar, Mike Yankee, and I'm down here in southern Greenville County. Do appreciate it. 73K4XB.
Triggered by the repeater ID, is that how it goes?
No, it's on the timer.
Yeah, I'll have to look into that, because that would be nice not to have to. Because I know Stacy does that every now and then. He'll draw his call sign and call me and repeat. It would be nice not to have to do that.
Look at this. It looks like if you're talking on it, at the time it's due to throw out your call, it will send it out over the repeater then. It don't matter if you're talking or not. It's throwing your call out.
So it's not even looking at the transmission on the other side. That's understandable, though. I guess I have to keep an eye on it.
The way mine's working so far, I'm still working at it. Small steps.
Yeah, and I would imagine the 700 is pretty close to the same way. Yeah, I'll definitely look into that, because it'd be nice to be able to carry the HD. I'm on 2 acres out here, so the house is normal distance off the road in front, but I've got like a football field and a half in the back.
And the way it works there, and that's what I plan on using it for, especially once I get moved. I've got 37 acres of land, then I can use my HD all over it as I'm out and about. But right now, I'm just trying to get it set up so when I'm working on the road or doing this, I can still keep my HD with me and be able to hear it.
That's nice to have all that land. I've got about 30 acres, but I tell you, I don't get down there much.
The wife and I did this past March. We've had it a year, and trying to get started on the house on it, man, you just can't find anybody to do anything.
I hear you. Yeah, I have that same problem around here, too. So where's the land at?
About halfway between Bavard and Rosman.
Yeah, mine's down in central Georgia. That's why we don't get to it very much. It's just outside of Vidalia. We're the onion capital of the world. In fact, my uncle was a big onion farmer back when he was living. And basically anything Vidalia onions have to be grown in Toombs County soil. And we're just barely in the edge of Toombs County. Could do some onions if someone was so inclined over.
Sounds a lot like work.
It is. My grandparents had that place. It used to be a total of about 370 plus acres. The way they made their living, they had cattle, hogs, and chickens, and everything. Grandma would load up the truck with whatever vegetables they had to season, and milk and eggs and butter and all that kind of stuff, and basically go door to door through town selling it. And that's how they made their living over.
Parents, when I was growing up, they have 12-acre farm, but we always leased anywhere from 50 to 100 acres for growing corn, and we sold sweet corn. We had beans, potatoes, cabbage, onions, carrots, okra, you name it, we grew it. And so, yeah, I did that all the way up till I was married when they stopped doing it finally.
It's a lot like how they did it, too. There were very few things that actually went to market back in the 60s, maybe even up into the early 70s. They grew tobacco, and that went to market. And I can barely remember having cotton out there, and that went to market. But everything else was sold out of the back of that truck.
1040, JC.
KO4, HKX. Hey, Jerry. I barely remember doing tobacco as a kid. I really wasn't doing it, but I remember them doing it. So that went away about the time I really got old enough to start helping. Go ahead, Jerry.
Is that like Keith might be in here too, but I was just sort of listening to stuff talking about that. You know, I used to drive down it years ago. My folks, we would drive, down, we had relatives down that area, and down towards, even down towards Fort Valley, and all down in South Georgia, and used to always have to drive through by day to pick up some onions, and all the ones that they put the stickers on them now, but they ain't like the ones we used to get, because the old ones, we'd get them, you bite into them like an apple.
Whiskey Uniform 2 Tango Mobile.
Actually, Jerry, I'm from Macon, and my grandparents had that farm outside of Idalia, a little community called Cedar Crossing. It's basically a stoplight, a flashing caution light, really, is about the extent of it. They made their money off the farm and did really well at it. I don't know that you could do it anymore. Kind of the commercial farming, corporate farming kind of started about, I guess, mid to late 70s, and that kind of killed off, or started, that was the beginning of the starting of killing off family farms over.
Okay, and hello to you, Jerry, and I'm not sure who all else is in here. I just come out of handbell rehearsal, and now I'm headed to Duncan for barbershop rehearsal, so one rehearsal after the other on Monday nights. Anyway, and I just thought I'd throw my call out there and see what was going on. Whoever's next, go ahead and pick it up.
Okay, Rusty, I'm going to have to say 7-3s. I'm pulling in the driveway, so you probably have time hearing me anyway. Y'all all have a good evening, and I'll look forward to talking to you on down the log. KO4HKX, and I'll be clear.
Yep, good talking to you on the way home. We'll catch you later. Rusty, this is Keith over here, KN4CHY over in Seneca. Go ahead, Jerry.
Keith, my wife's folks were from, been all over the state, but her mother's side, they were from some of our families from down around Tustin, and I went to school in America, so Southwestern, so I used to live down that, lived in America, Columbus, Thompson, and down toward the middle part of the state. I did travel a lot in the Macon area, but like I said, we had family down all throughout the southern part of the state, and I remember just going down to all those years ago. If you talk about cotton, yeah, there was, where I was, I'm from Harville, and we had a cotton gin in Harville when I was a kid. It wasn't about a block from my house. And I remember bringing cotton in back in the 50s when I was probably 3 or 4 years old. And having gin at that, we had a cannery up the road from the state that was run by the ladies' auxiliary, and we used to go up there after my dad always had a big garden. We didn't truck garden or anything like that, but he always had a big garden. We'd go up to the cannery and have everything canned, and have preserves figs and a whole 9 yards.
Talking about family and everybody spread all over the place, I can understand that. My mother's family was all over the lower part of South Carolina, all around Charleston and all out from there, spreading around Weeks, Walters, and everybody else in the family down there, lots of cousins and everything. And my dad's family was mostly in Indiana to start with, and then now there's a few left in Indiana, at least a sister and family left in Florida, and then his brothers, those that are alive, and all my cousins are all out in California and out Arizona and out that way, so a lot of all over the place, and I don't see much of any of them except my sister who lives in Florida, so family can be distributed everywhere, and sometimes you can see them and sometimes you don't. Go ahead, Keith.
Yeah, I know It used to be, back when I was young, you know, we were all kind of concentrated around the Macon area and down around the farm. And as the years have gone by, and I guess interstates got built and air travel got more prevalent, same way with me. You know, family spread all over the country. I cover four corners of the country between my little brother that's in Maine and got a niece in Washington State and got a cousin in Fort Wayne, California. So we got all four corners covered. And I was going to tell you, Jerry, the cotton is making a comeback down through. We go down through like Parkville and Elberton on the way down to the farm. And just all down through there, you see a lot of cotton going again.
Through Bowman and Elberton, my wife, my family's parents are buried in Bowman, and her grandparents are too. Her granddad was Albert County School Superintendent back in the early 60s, and he was a high school principal at Bowman Elementary back in the 30s. So we'd go down there every once in a while if we want to take a trip. And, you know, I used to love traveling down that way. We went to Florida back in the 50s, we'd always drive down US-1 and go down through Louisville and all down that way. And of course, I'd travel up down 41 and 19 many a time over the years. And I know when I was a kid, you'd go down through 41, it'd be motels, all of them would be kind of motor hotels, and they'd be little motels that had like five, six rooms out there, and have a restaurant next door. And I just remember traveling up there, and it's all changed so much now. That stuff has been torn down and grown up. But when I started traveling again after I left manufacturing, started traveling back in the early 90s, I used to go down that way just to get off the interstate. You still see some remnants of those places, but I was telling my wife the other day, I said, we're going to go back down to South Georgia sometime because I don't miss the gnats, but I miss that country down there.
Jerry, I miss the lower part of the state around Charleston area because I lived down there for the first 20 years after I came back. My mother came back, brought us back from California to South Carolina. But I lived in all four corners of the United States, again, almost, you could say, because I'm just about close to it. I've lived in Key West, Florida. I've lived in Newport, Rhode Island. I've lived in San Diego, California. And I lived in Bremerton, Washington for a short period of time. And various and sundry points in between on the coast. So my dad was in the Navy, so that's where we did a lot of traveling when I was young. But after he passed away, my mother brought us back to South Carolina because she was from here. And like I said, I probably got cousins all over the place. And every now and again, I'll run into one that's, like a third or fourth cousin down the line because they're all too young to be close cousins. So, but my dad was one of 13 kids. There were 11 boys and two girls, so they had a big family. And my mother was one of two children, her and her brother, and that was it. And he never had any kids, as far as I know. He lived out in New Mexico, so we never saw him very much. He lived and died out there. And four siblings in my family, and I've got a few nieces and nephews somewhere running around. But, you know, you do that, you see these folks, and you get a chance to see them every now and again, but not as often as you like to, and things change over the years as all of us get older. So that's what's going on. W2T, go ahead, Keith.
That's the way we go down to the farm now, because you can't get there from here. So we, like I said, we head down through Elberton and Thompson, pick up US-1 and Lynn's, and then we travel US-1 all the way down to if you know where 16 and I-16 and US 1 cross, where the farm is probably another 50 or 20 miles beyond that, and we're just a few miles off the US 1.
I understand that way. I cut across 16 to Savannah a few weeks ago when we were headed down to Florida. And I just, it looks, all that stuff, just, of course, you don't get off interstate. It doesn't look familiar like it did, but all that stuff looked familiar. We used to go down to Uvalde. Used to, matter of fact, me and my college roommate used to go down to Uvalde. All that used to have a hog hunt down there. You back in the early 70s, we used to go down there and hunt hogs with the archery, you know, arch bow hunt them. But I haven't been down that way in so long. I like to go back and just see the old places and, you know, going down that, going, especially going down those old highways. And it's kind of like going down A1A to Florida. It just doesn't exist to mount anything anymore, but you have to kind of get off the interstate to go that way. Now all the stuff, all the tourist spots are gone right now, I guess. But see, I like that part of the country. And we enjoyed living in America. So although I got a lot of families there, all in Blakely now, I think, in Ellaville. But so far down there, I don't know if we'll make a trip back anytime soon or not. We enjoy that part of the country. It's hot down there, but we get used to gnats and other stuff, the critters that'll bite you. We really enjoyed living down there. My wife was telling me the other day, she said, we didn't have a lot, but we enjoyed it while we were down there.
Liz, let's see if I've got it. Yeah, I do. My sister lives down in the, well, her address is St. Augustine, but she kind of lives between St. Augustine and Jacksonville. And I usually take 26 and 95 down there because I can get off of 95 and be to her house in 15 minutes. So it's kind of I know exactly where to get off and everything. And I run around down there and I get on US 1 down there and get on 17. And I've made the trip years ago when we made the trip to Florida, we'd go down out of Charleston, we'd get on 17 and just head south on 17. And of course that went through all the different areas down there along the coast and back off of it a little ways and everything else. So you got to see a lot of that whole area down there. And of course my mother's family was down St. George area, down in that area. So all around down there, I had cousins and everything coming out my ears for a long time. And some of them owned businesses down there and everything else. Of course you get separated as you get older and you move away and you don't get down to see them. And after I moved up here 46 years ago, I haven't really been back down. I went, looked into on St. George's. I went by the interstate, went by it on 95, went by the exit for it. Maybe the next time I go down that way, I'll stop in and take a look at the old town and see what it looks like, because it used to be just a little small place down there. One railroad ran one side of town, and the other railroad ran the other side of town, and that's the way it was. So, anyway, well, I'm going to go ahead and say 7-3s, because I'm reaching my destination down here, and I need to do some maneuvering around the block so I can get into where I park. Y'all have a good one, and we'll catch you later. W2T clear. Go ahead, Keith.
Monthly meeting here, I guess. Jerry, it sounds, I didn't even mention Uvalde because nobody knows where Uvalde is. But if you take 56 towards Reidsville out of Uvalde, our farm is not far from the first caution light you run into. Over.
Like I said, we used to go down there a good bit. Matter of fact, on our way down on our honeymoon, we stopped in Uvalde, some little motel down there, because we couldn't get to Daytona. I had I messed up one of the shock absorbers on my car. We had to stay there overnight one time. Then my roommate and I, we all went down, and his wife, we went down there, stayed a couple nights down there. But That was the first place I remember, Keith, where I started seeing some armadillos. This was back around 74, maybe, 73 or 74, maybe. It might be a little bit earlier than that, but I was asking one of my buddies who was with me, I said, what's those hole blues? That's what armadillos are. And I said, I had no idea they weren't in the southwestern part of the state, but they were in the, evidently they come up from the southeastern part of the state, which I was kind of shocked to hear that. Of course, now we got them up here now. But, yeah, I know all that area down and out. Used to travel, and when I go back race whenever I travel to call on some of my customers down that part of the country, and I try to find a back road somewhere, and used to go through all kinds of little Enigma, and I can't remember the name of another place. There's two or three little places that I used to go through, and I always, my boss goes, "Well, I'm going through Enigma right now, or some other nothing but a caution light, not even a stop sign there." So I know you know all about that stuff if you lived and traveled down that part of the state.
Years I'd say something about Uvalde, you know, describing where the farm was, and nobody has ever heard of Uvalde. And so I just, you know, decades ago, back when I was still a kid, I'd just say Vidalia because everybody knows about Vidalia onions. I always described it when nobody ever heard of Uvalde. So yeah, I'm kind of surprised at that. And I tell you, my uncle was—he may have been on some of those hog hunts too. Don't know if the name Trennan Williams sounds familiar.
They called it a bow hunt rendezvous, and they had a shoot down there, a bow hunter shoot, and hunted hogs too. And one of the guys that was with me, that traveled, three of us came down there, and one of the guys that traveled with me killed one. It wasn't a big one. I think it weighed about 140 pounds, but, you know, that's been so long ago. Hog hunting was just not something you didn't hear about that often. But he killed a pretty decent one, but he was the only one the server people saw, but they didn't get a shot at him. But he was, you know, we took that thing in and had it dressed. I can't remember now. I think he had a process down there too, but there were a good many of them down that part of the country even then. But there were monsters like you see up here these days.
In fact, there's one there in Uvalde that still processes. I was amazed to hear that they're still there. My brother, both my older brothers live at the farm now. The oldest one first, and then the next oldest just moved down there probably less than a year ago. And he was saying that he went to that same slaughterhouse and bought some meat, and I was just amazed that it was still open. My grandparents used to take cows and pigs there all the time, but we always had a freezer full of meat. We didn't have a lot of money, but we was meat rich over.
What you're talking about is one of those things where my grandparents, actually lived all the way. They'd be in the city limits of Harlan Avenue years ago. They would raise a hog in the backyard, and we had a guy come kill it and butcher it, you know, for us. And that's been, I was just about probably 4 or 5 years old, but he'd shoot that thing. And I told somebody later on, they wanted to know, if I was squeamish about it. I said, "Have you ever seen anybody killing gut and butcher a hog?" I said, "You ain't squeamish about anything anymore."
In that time frame you were talking about, like 74 or so, we were still around that area quite a bit. It was about 74, 75 when we ended up having to move to Louisiana for Dad's work. So his job in Macon got abolished, and they, you know, said, "Well, you can seek other employment, or you can go to Louisiana." So we ended up Baton Rouge, and I remember it was a Christmas time. We were all at the farm, and they walked in the door late night and said, "Well, we're moving to Baton Rouge," and, you know, my first thought was, man, I don't want to move overseas, over.
That's pretty good. Did, what kind of work was he in, Keith?
In trucking, he was a terminal manager in Macon for the old Ryder truck line. Ended up being TIE, and I think you said you used to drive a truck, so you're probably familiar with both of those things.
I drove a truck. I used to do a lot of freight forwarding and stuff like that when I was working, but they just handled some logistics part of it. I never worked for a trucking company. I bought Texas machines. I handled a lot of container shipping and that sort of thing, and I'm pretty familiar with most all of them, and well, most of them over the years, but that was well before my time and that part of it. But tell you what, that's kind of a culture shock going from South Georgia to Baton Rouge, especially.
Especially Baton Rouge at that time. It was a really nice town, and you know, we dreaded going out there. And I tell you, when we moved and was unloading the U-Haul, and it was just a miserable drizzling rain the whole time. We unloaded that U-Haul in the rain. And that very rain did not stop until about 10 days later. And it's like, oh, Lord, what have we gotten ourselves into? but I ended up growing to love that town, you know, coming from Macon and, you know, down there around the farm and everything. I was just a small town, but it was, that started kind of my affection with big cities over.
A lot different than back in those days. My uncle worked for John's Manville, and he was living down there during the 60s. I can't remember the name of the town he was in. He was outside. He wasn't in New Orleans proper. He was outside of New Orleans somewhere, but that was a whole different culture for them. They enjoyed it, but everybody I've talked to, we've got a niece that lives down that area, and my wife's first cousin, his wife, lived down there. Her family's from somewhere down that area. They got a big house down there on one of those bayous or somewhere. And it's a, they had a wedding down there. I'd call it a fete. And they just had a big feast down there. The people that live in that area, once you get kind of dug in down there, you don't want to get out of it.
I was down there with the folks, and we moved to Savannah because father got an offer to go back, you know, get back closer to home, so he took it. And I stayed in Savannah about maybe a year or so, and just did not like it a bit. And I went back to Baton Rouge and stayed another 10 years. And in fact, I was out there last year, and I'm going back here in a couple of weeks. So I've still got to finish getting it arranged with the friend that I'm going to visit. She was an old friend that is sick, and I've been trying to visit her as often as I can while I can. So I'm hoping to get out there again here in the next couple of 3 weeks. Anyway, Jerry, I'm going to let you go. Meeting's going to be starting here in a few minutes. I need to go in there and get ready for it.
It's great talking to you. We'll have to kick some dirt around some more sometime. 7-3 to you. And you have the hope the meeting goes well. K-4 each way and 4-DGC clear.
Thoroughly enjoyed it on this end, too. 7-3, have a good night. We'll catch you later. N4DJC, K-4 CHY, I'll be clear.